You could be walking down the sidewalk, three or four people, and somebody approaches you and say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" You could be by yourself, somebody approaching you, and they would say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" Just me, but just y'all, you all, me. So the first time I said, "Yuns, how Yuns doing?" What? What? Yuns? What's a Yuns? So if you hear me say y'all, it's because I got that in brain. What I tell you today is for the honor and glory of God our Father. I can't do this without Him. He picked me. He selected me. Much as He selected many of the people throughout the Bible. Please come in and have a seat. The message today is about forgiveness. I want to read to you the Lord's Prayer. Something that we have all heard, said, done for other people. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I want to dissect this a little bit. I want to go to the part where it says, if you forgive other people, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. That's a very difficult thing sometimes. Amen. Very difficult thing to do. Some of us have been wronged so many times by other people that it's hard to do. What Jesus says here is something that's very important. I'll tell you a little bit about that. At the risk of sounding a bit narcissistic, this message is going to be about me. Not necessarily about me personally, but what God has done for me and through me. The word forgive is used 56 times in the Bible. The word forgiven 42 times. Forgiveness 7 times. So it's a total of 105 times God talks about forgiveness in the Bible. The Holman Bible Dictionary definition of the word forgiveness is a term or word used to indicate pardon for a fault or offense, or to excuse from a payment of a debt owed, or sin. Forgiveness is so vitally important, not just with each other, but it's also required for eternal life. Who here does not want eternal life with Christ? Good, I didn't see any hands go up. I was hoping I wouldn't. In Matthew 6:12, I just read part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus instructs us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Certain translations will say trespasses, and some will say sins. Basically, it's the same thing. Forgive us, Lord, and I ask daily to forgive me my sins. I stand before you as a sinner. I've sinned. I'm going to tell you stories about that. Stories that probably are going to say, wow. And we have to be able to, and I'm going to tell you how if you can't. If you just can't in your heart do it, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. Matthew 6:14 and 15. If you give men of their trespasses, forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sounds like a warning. I'm repeating these things because it's important. It's a warning. Mark 11:25, 26 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." Is this a warning? Yeah. The Bible gives us a lot of warnings. The Bible is a blueprint for how we live our lives. There's so many answers to every problem that you can come up with. There's an answer in the Bible. Even in our modern times when Satan is so strong and gets after us so much and so hard, and you're in here and you feel good and you're spiritual and you go outside, bang, there he is. He's waiting for you. Must be very careful. Must be very careful. I'm going to read some things to you, and then I'm going to tell you a story about how forgiveness has affected me and family members. Forgiveness is something we all want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give. Jesus makes it clear, however, that we can't have it without giving it. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive those, your Father will not forgive your sins. These words allow no room for doubt or discussion. Forgiveness flows two ways. We cannot separate receiving forgiveness from extending forgiveness. Forgiveness is a core of emotional well-being. It's fair to say that unforgiving people are emotionally sick. They carry a heavy weight around with them. Their bitterness is a disease of the spirit. I've heard these people. I've probably been this way. I'm so angry and unforgiving and not willing to let go. Their bitterness is a disease in the spirit, and it is inevitable that the person eventually will experience physical illness as well. The stress we carry when we receive forgiveness affects our hearts, mind, and bodies. To make matters worse, rage and depression contribute to obsessive behavior and overeating, workaholic, overspending, addictions to pornography, drugs, and alcohol. If you think about this emotion of anger and rage that you have that's associated with unforgiveness to somebody else, I want you to think about carrying a backpack on your back with 50, 100 pounds worth of weights. And you're carrying it around wherever you go, whatever you do. It's always on your mind. You go to work, it's there. You come to church, it's there. You go to Walmart, it's there. You go to visit family, it's there. You take a shower, it's there. It's always there. Do you want that?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't. I know I don't. Unresolved anger helps us from moving forward because it locks us in a time machine, frozen, unwilling to move to new levels of relationships. Not only those who have hurt us, but with anyone who represents a similar threat. Furthermore, if we allow unforgiveness to continue, we are likely to experience depression, bitterness, or both. I put my hand up because it affects me. This is how it's affected me in the past. I can speak from heart, from truth. Amen. Yet more important, these concerns are the most serious consideration of all. The spiritual consequence of unforgiveness, alienation from God. Mm-hmm. What? God, unforgiveness, sin. Sin separates us from God. He wants to dissolve that sin. He wants to dissolve that unforgiveness. Forgiveness cannot begin until we admit our own failures. We cannot do that much. If we cannot do that much, neither give nor or receive forgiveness. We cannot receive forgiveness without acknowledging our need for it, and we cannot extend forgiveness without admitting that because of our own imperfect condition, we have no right to withhold forgiveness from anyone else. For Christians, forgiveness is non-negotiable. It's the very essence of our faith. If you're living in the past because of unforgiveness or some thing that's gone on in your past, something that you can't change, we're told that the only way that we can change the past is make a better future. But we all drive a car here. We've all ridden in a car. We all know a car's got a great big windshield. How big is that mirror? It's very small. Right? We want to focus on what's in the future. We don't want to focus on what's in the past. The only time you really need that is to see if that police car is behind you. And we don't want that. Forgiveness is not condoning the behavior that someone has hurt you. That's okay, it's okay. Forgive and forget. Is that possible? Just forgive and forget? It's really tough. It's tough for humans to forget things. I know this because of things that I've done get thrown up in my face, either directly or indirectly on many occasions. It's difficult for humans to forget. But you know who can forget? God. God is capable of that. When we are not, He is. It's not restoring trust in that person if you forgive them. You've learned a lesson now. You still love them, but you keep them at an arm's length. Right?
Amen.
All right? And sometimes that's tough to do, especially if it's a close family member. Learn, pay attention. It's not easy. Who's the hardest person to forget?
Myself.
Tell me.
Myself.
Yourself.
Myself.
That's right. That comes to my story. This may come to a surprise to some of you. I was a paramedic for almost 40 years. Worked right around the corner here. Same company, 40 years. That's how Rob Fetty and I met. I was a paramedic. He was my EMT partner. We were friends. We've been friends a long time. I was also a police officer. And I did law enforcement for almost 35 years. At one point in time, I was a Christian. I went to church. I believed. Some things happened. I backslid. I went backsliding all the way pretty much to the bottom. As life went on, I became more and more depressed. Depression is a tool that Satan uses to have his way with you. And I'm telling you folks, he's happy when he does it. So through many unhappinesses, making wrong decisions, turning to alcohol, finally hit pretty close to rock bottom. And I found myself one day in the Allegheny County Jail. I wasn't there as a policeman. I was there as an inmate. I'd been arrested for extortion because I did some things as a policeman that I'm very much not proud of. And I don't tell you this today because I'm bragging about it. I'm telling you this today because I was wrong. On my knees. It's funny how sometimes that's what it takes for people to get on their knees. And on my knees I prayed. And I said, Father, forgive me. Much like the prodigal son. We spoke about that in Sunday school this morning. Father, forgive me because I've sinned against you in heaven.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you every single day. You've got to be able to figure out, listen, and pay attention.
Yes, He does.
Holy Spirit spoke to me
and said, you will
be okay. But you've got to endure this.
As I said this morning, nowhere in the Bible does it actually say God doesn't give you more than you can handle. But God gives you a way to get through that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And He did.
Wow.
And I wonder what this was on my heart. He said that I want you to go to a certain church, which is my home church. I want you to talk to a certain pastor who I had met in the past. I didn't want to listen to anything he had to say. In one ear and out the other, I like to say when I do my testimony. He said, I want you to do what I tell you to do. Follow along. There was also a lady at one time, and she came to me and she said, Donnie, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm depressed, I'm lonely. She said, I'll pray for you. I said, don't bother. Hey, hold on to your seats, folks, because I told her, don't bother. There is no God. A little over a month later, I was on my knees apologizing.
Amen.
So,
for 6 years, I went through the federal system. Out on bond for 20 months, finally got sentenced.
This is how God works.
Because I gave my life to Him. I paid no restitution. I paid no fines.
Amen.
When I got out on bond, my ex-wife signed a form paper to let me out. Who does that?
God.
I was sentenced to 11 years, 3 months through a blessing from God. That was reduced to 7 years, 3 months. And I only had to do 6 years. I was given 3 years probation. What did I do, Barry? 16 months of that? Half of that? And I was released off probation. Because I paid attention to what God told me to do.
Amen. Amen.
I'm here today because of what God told me to do. Has blessed me. But forgiveness. As I'm walking around the track in Oakdale, Louisiana. Oh yeah, they sent me far away. Very hot, lots of mosquitoes. And I'm praying. And just this peace came over. I've forgiven you. Forgive yourself. And I did. Now that's not to say there's not days that come up, like I mentioned earlier, where people will throw this back in my face.
Yes.
Because it does happen.
So, the way to get forgiveness for yourself, the way to get forgiveness, if you can't forgive somebody else, God is the most powerful. He created the heavens, the universe, the earth, people, everything that you see, He's created. Give it to Him. Give it to Him to forgive. Move on with your life. You have to.
I've just mentioned a few of my blessings because they continue every day. I'm one of the most blessed people I know. I never thought that I would have another motorcycle when I do. I never thought I'd have a house to live on, but I do. Job. I work menial jobs, but I love them. I work 3 jobs. Gets me out of the house. I'm technically retired, but I like to work. So, I'm going to mention Barry and B, my friends right here. We've been friends a long time. When I first went to the Allegheny County Jail, my head was spinning.
If you think going to prison is tough, try being a cop and going to prison. The first card that I got from anybody
when I was there, and I only got a couple, them.
I've known them for a long time. We all graduated high school together many moons ago. We weren't close from that time on because lives happen. People go in different directions. But they never forgot me and they believed in me. The whole time that I was away in Louisiana, and I transferred to Virginia, I took a spiritual class there, and that's why I put in for a transfer. I got it. So, but it was God.
He moved the BOP, and they moved me. The whole time I was there, Barry wrote me every week. He kept me up on things that were going on in his life, his family's life.
And I'm always
grateful. Another thing that they did was they sent me the Observer Report. That's expensive. A year-long subscription to the Observer Report is $200-$300, plus postage. I knew what was going on at the time.
So these are blessings. These are people that have blessings. I mentioned my pastor, another blessing. He's my power of attorney. He's done so many wonderful things for me. My children are still in my life.
This is just a little bit of testimony, and I wanted to touch on that because it involves forgiveness.
When we commit sin, we put a wall between ourselves and God. God loves us deeply, but he hates sin so much that it causes separation between man and God. Our sins are so great that we cannot possibly repay them. The good news is that his love for us is so great that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross as payment for our sins. The only way our sins can be forgiven is when we receive the gift that his Son has given us on the cross. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I recommend you do it soon. Don't wait. Tomorrow is not promised.
Amen.
We all know stories of people who didn't wake up the next morning, putting it on the back burner. Oh, wait, I still want to live my worldly life. He gave me a second chance. Will he give it to you? I'm not going to read everything I have here because I know you didn't come here to hear me read on the paper. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. If you have too much pride, if you can't forgive, please give it to God. Don't let pride prevent you from salvation. True repentance includes turning from our sins and not continuing to walk in them. If you seem to struggle with compulsive sinful habits, you may need to be set free from demonic influence. It may be necessary to renounce your sins out loud and command them to leave. So I told you about being away for 6 years. I came home 2.5 years ago. And I hadn't been on a vacation in a long time. Pretty much everybody likes to take a vacation, right? I didn't know much about Facebook. It was around before I left, but I didn't do it. So I got back into it. And through Facebook, I was able to contact family that had no idea what ever happened to me. And in doing so, I got in touch with my cousin, who I kind of was raised with when we were younger. My mom would babysit her when her mom and dad were at work. We spent a lot of time together. We've always been. She got married to a sailor. They moved all over the world. We lost the touch with each other. So we got in touch with them. I got in touch with them. And She said, why don't you come to South Carolina and stay with us for a while?
We want you to move here. I've only ever lived here besides my family.
I said, well, how about I come and visit? I didn't know that God was using me for a purpose on this visit. I said, all right. She paid for the plane tickets. Okay, I like airplanes. It's one of my passions. I'm all about getting on the airplane and flying somewhere. I learned how to fly a long time ago, but I don't fly those. So I go to her house. They pick me up at the airport. We drive to their house. They provide the meals, room and board. Spend time together. It was amazing. It was a great vacation. But her mom also lives there. She lives 10 miles away. And I said to my cousin, will you please take me to see her mom? I haven't seen her in years. She's wheelchair bound. She's got a lot of medical problems. She's 80 years old. And she said, yes. She says, but there's something you should know. And I said, what's that? She says, I haven't talked to my mother in 2 years. I said, why is that? My uncle, who was her stepdad, when he met her mom was married to her dad. And they split up. My cousin didn't find us out until late in life. And she said, when I found out, I confronted my mother. My mother was living with us at the time because of her cane handicap. My cousin's husband's a nurse. She retired from the Navy, went to nursing school, has a good medical background. She said, I confronted my mother, and my mother told me the truth. And I began to hate my mother. So we sat on the couch one evening after her husband went to work. We were saving this. And I held her by the hand. And I told her pretty much what I told you about forgiveness. What has happened in the past, we learn from, but none of us can change. I can't change anything that happened to me in the past, and neither can you. So we talked for probably an hour, and she cried, and she cried. And she says, on Saturday, we'll go see my mom. I said, okay.
Saturday. She has this big Dodge Ram 2500 thing, which is not that big, and she's just driving this thing around. No problem. We go to see her mom.
Her mother did not know it was there, it was coming.
And I walked in the door, and she cried. She's in a wheelchair. And you could see a little cold tension between the two, because they really haven't been together for 2 years. She had asked her mom to leave the house that they were living in when her mom was in. So, we spent about 2 hours together, had coffee, talked. Debbie went in the other room. I talked to her mother for a while, prayed with her. And we left. I said, how do you feel? And she goes, better. I said, it's only going to get better if you let it. You have to let it. You cannot harbor this hatred towards your mother. Going to eat you up. And she says, it does. It's like that backpack. Before I left, they're planning, my cousin and her husband were planning to move to Alabama. They were only her mother in South Carolina. And before I left, we went to the airport. My cousin says to me, you know, we're going to take my mom with us when we move.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't leave. She's by herself.
Praise God.
Don't leave her there. So not long after I came back was her mom's birthday and also my cousin's oldest son's birthday. My cousin was going to have a birthday dinner at the house for her son and her mother.
Praise God.
First time her mother had been to the house over 2 years. And I called and I said, how'd it go? Slow at first. That's okay. I said, Deb, forgiveness is monumental. It's absolute monumental. And
they're doing much better now. They're getting, Debbie's getting ready to move, and my aunt is getting ready to move with her. So I didn't realize how God was going to work or use me to work for Him when I went on vacation.
If you have the opportunity to help somebody with forgiveness or with issues, with depression, get them the help they need. Help them the best that you can. Don't forget about it. It's God's desire for us to believe upon His Son Jesus for the remission of our sins and to have a clean conscience that has been cut off from our past guilt. He wants us to forgive. He wants to forgive us of our sins for His sake, and even chooses not to remember our sins. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this opportunity to speak to these fine people. Children, Lord God, my brothers and sisters, Your children. I hope this message touched at least one heart, if not several. I'm so gracious for all the wonderful things You do. I thank You for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to do an altar call if anybody has anything in particular. There's altar call music on here somewhere. If you have any questions about anything, I can answer questions. Joe, you got any questions?
Huh?
Got any questions, Joe? All right, you awake, Joe?
Takes that one easy.